Welcome to another episode of the Real Estate Gals Podcast. Sharon Vornholt is your host and the creator of the Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog, where you will learn how to become a savvy real estate investor, make money, build streams of passive income, and create a lifestyle and a business you love. Whether you're a seasoned real estate investor or just getting started, this show is for you. Now, let's talk real estate investing.
Social media here just a second. How are you using social media in your business?
Social media is a complete and total time suck. I spend my days on Facebook and I love it. That is not the way to use social media. I use mostly Facebook, and I use that for two things. So I've got my personal Facebook page, which is just me saying anything to be outrageous. But then I also have Facebook for my RIA group, and I have Facebook for my coaching programs. And the thing I have learned with Facebook is that a post with an image in it will get three times as many likes and shares as a post without an image. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've done is I got that logo maker thing. I think mm-hmm. you got it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I can sit down in an hour and make 6 or 7 or 8 images with words on them, and I'm popping those up all the time. For social media, if I can keep myself off of it and just post and get out, I will get my work done. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I use is Hootsuite. A lot of people use Buffer app, BufferApp.com. Mm-hmm. I haven't gotten into that one. I use Hootsuite, and from Hootsuite, I can post on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook page, it will take, I think, on the free account, 5 different social media accounts. And I can schedule posts out for up to a year. Matter of fact, I saw something post on April 1st, and everybody was commenting on it. They go, oh, that's really great. And I thought to myself, I didn't post that. And then I remembered I'd put it up onto Hootsuite to post on April mm-hmm. 1st back in January.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I recommend when I have people set up their systems is put together 10 or 12 posts on a Sunday afternoon, go into Hootsuite or Buffer app, and make your posts so you've got 2 a day coming out at different times. And just pre-schedule them. And if they're pre-scheduled, they'll hit, you'll get comments, it will look like you're there, but you're not on social media wasting your time.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the yeah. things I also see is a lot of people post their deals up on social media. I saw somebody, and this was really brilliant because I think he was lying. He said, man, I have a sweet wholesale deal, and the investor just dropped out. I've got a da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's $80,000, mm-hmm. and, you know, the investor had to drop out. And the guy had 2 or 3 other people pop up with $80,000 within minutes.
Yeah. I think you can do that. And if your local RIA, I've noticed that our local RIA has a Facebook group, and people will post anything and everything in there. They'll post their deals, but they'll also post things like, hey, I need a repairman for my stove or refrigerator, or who do you use? And just like that, you'll get a list of people that other people have used. So, if you haven't done that, do you have a group yet for your RIA?
I just switched over because I had a little meetup group in Charlotte mm-hmm. County, and I'm switching it over to West Florida RIA. So mm-hmm. I just switched them over to West Florida RIA as the Facebook page.
Oh.
And one of the things that's really good about Facebook is, and probably other accounts like Twitter, when somebody says, I need a handyman, and somebody else says, hey, call Larry, and they're friends with Larry, so his link pops up, his name pops up as a highlight, so you can just go mm-hmm. and click on it and find him. And we've done that a lot. When you've got, so for people who are contractors and handymen and rehabbers, you've got to be on there because people can link to you just that fast. And you mm-hmm. get a notification. Some people get notifications on their phones or just in their email. You get a notification, someone's looking for a plumber, and you're a plumber, and you're looking for work. That's, I mean, it's instantaneous.
Yeah.
So that's huge. And same thing with deals. if someone posts on the Facebook page, I've got this deal. As a matter of fact, a realtor in the area, a real investor-friendly realtor, she's an investor herself, she had this great 2 1.5 condo for, $28,000, $29,000, and she posted on Facebook, I can't believe this sweet deal of a condo doesn't have any offers on it, and she said what it was, and said, what's the HOA fee, and it was really cheap. And she said, the place rents for $900, it's $28,000. Well, the first thing I did was I shared it. And I said, hey, where are my Tampa investors? This is a sweet condo deal. And within half an hour, she had 3 offers on that condo.
Yeah, isn't that something?
That's the power of social media. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge.
It is huge. And I would say I use Hootsuite. I should say now I've actually given that, the actual scheduling of those posts over to my VA now, which I would encourage everybody to do. For a few dollars a month, you can put somebody in charge of some of that, and then you can, go in and slot in your blog post, or they can do it, or however. But that's actually something that is fairly easy to outsource, and it's real cheap. Real cheap.
Yay.
And then you don't go on there and find out you've been on there for an hour, Barbara Grassi.
Somebody I know is always on there too, Sharon.
Let me tell you, and I'm really trying to break that habit. Other than jumping on first thing in the morning, I've been making it a real point not to get on there. So I'm sure there's a 12-step program for that.
Oh, I think you just hit on something right there. That's our new business.
Okay, so somebody said to you, I've only got 1 hour a week for networking and getting out there and getting my business name out there. What would you say is the best use of their time?
Gosh, if it's for branding or for marketing for deals?
For anything. So for real estate investing, of course, they've got 1 hour a week. How can they grow their business and grow their brand?
Well, the first thing I would do is make sure the letters got out every week. And that's not going to take time. That's because you're going to outsource that to somebody. To get out there and network, I think, is important because not all RIAs are the same, but if you've got a good RIA group that isn't a time waster, you've got people who are doing deals, going to that RIA and listening and learning, that's part of sharpening your axe. That's finding out what's working in your marketplace, what's not working in your marketplace. RIAs can save you a lot of money as far as keeping you from falling into traps. There's an area down south of me, which is a great town. It's a lot of canals, a lot of waterfront, 3-2s with pools for like $125,000. And you're sitting there saying, my God, these things are steals. And then somebody in the area says, oh, yeah, they've got water problems. Everyone's getting assessed this huge amount. The taxes keep going up in that town. I wouldn't have known that if somebody at my RIA hadn't said it. That's local knowledge.
Exactly.
I'm a big proponent of RIAs only in that you can't get that local knowledge anywhere else. So staying in touch with the other investors is very important. Now, I don't necessarily do deals with investors in my RIA. When I go looking for a deal, I mean, I go to the general public because I can negotiate with a civilian a lot better than I can a sharp investor.
Right.
However, people who know how to wholesale houses and know what a good wholesale deal is can bring those deals to a RIA and find rehabber buyers. And you can, if you're starting out, you can find an investor to work with. If there are any new people, please don't stand up in a RIA meeting and say, I'm brand new to investing, and I have all this money that I'd like to invest, and I'm looking to learn.
Yeah, don't do that.
Give me your money now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Don't ever tell people you've got money, because there are sharp people in RIAs, and there are the very nice people in RIAs, but until you figure out who's who, you don't want to let people know you have money. But,
yeah.
And hold on to your money at first. Take a look around, learn your market. But a RIA is one of the best places to find out what's going on locally, and that's important because real estate is local. These people that say do deals all over the country, that's insane. The money's in your backyard.
Mm-hmm. There are deals everywhere. I don't care where you live, there are deals. So get out there to your RIAs. I would say to go tell everybody what you do. Tell everybody, you know, if you know someone that has this house they really have to sell and they need to get rid of it quick for cash, I'm your gal.
I can do that. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, people are kind of shy, especially when you're new, because I have people who are afraid to send out letters because their real fear is, what if somebody calls me back? What will I say?
Mm-hmm.
And you're just talking to people. And if you screw up the conversation, who cares? There's, you know, 100 other houses down the line. But what you were saying about there's a deal everywhere is absolutely true. I had some friends talking, and the guy says, because I know my market so well, I can go through a neighborhood in an hour, 2 hours, and I can find 3 or 4 decent deals. But it's because he knows his market.
Mm-hmm.
A new person going through that neighborhood wouldn't find a single deal because they don't know what they're looking at. So you really need to learn your local market, and Aria is a great place to do that.
I agree completely. You know, I'm lucky here. We have a good RIA. It's, you know, there are a lot of seasoned investors in there all the way down to brand new people. And I try to make our meeting every month. And we have a lot of, we have some national speakers in, but we also have a lot of panels where it's the local investors that talk about the local market. They also get up there, and we used to have a thing at our Christmas meeting every year that I loved. And it was, they would always get up there. We'd have people, and only guys will do this, by the way. Women will sit down and just shut up. They would, it would be the best deal and the worst deal. Now, the women might get up there, and everybody would get up there and say, this is my best deal, and then everybody would clap, and they would pick
right.
One. But the guys would get up there, and they would just dive in. Boy, they just couldn't wait to tell how they had messed up and lost money, and this is the worst. I know I'm going to win the worst deal of the year. It was hilarious, but it was so valuable because you knew that this big-time investor had the guts to get up there and say, I really messed up this year. I messed up, and you will mess up. Yeah. So I love that. It was
the
highlight.
And the truth is recovering. And thank you so much because you just gave me the idea for my Christmas meeting, so thank you.
Oh, let me tell you, we got a new president a few years ago, and they quit doing that. We have a charity here at our RIA meeting that every month they sell tickets, which I think is a great idea. It's called the 50-50 pot split, and we share it with the Home of the Innocents here, which takes care of abandoned, abused, neglected, and fragile children that are fragile medically. So they go around to the tables, and a ticket is, I think it's $5 or 5 for $25, but people just buy a ticket, even one every month. We do a split the pot. They draw a ticket out, and then that money, the investor gets half, which they generally actually donate back to the Home of the Innocents. And at the end of the year, we present them in our Christmas meeting with a big giant check. We are their biggest contributor, one of their biggest contributors in the city. And so it gives our group a purpose. So our Christmas meeting, we would always have the Gordon Brown from the Home of the Innocents, and then we would have our best deal, worst deal. And I mean, people just flocked to the meeting because they wanted to see this and hear this, and it was a learning experience. And we also had sponsors that always had the banks and things that provide wine and cheese. And so that's, go look for some sponsors. That was, that's always good too. So in addition to our dinner, but, yeah, so that's I'm excited for you and your RIA, and that's probably going to be another whole suggestion, a whole other topic for us to talk about is how folks can start a RIA in their own area. See, I've just given you another job.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Okay. So I want to touch briefly on websites. You know, I used to get a lot of flack over on one of the big national real estate investing websites because I used to say, as an investor, I believe you need some type of a web presence. And they would all go, no, you don't. I've been doing deals for 150 years, and I don't have a website. But I think, you know, when people are going to look up Barbara Grassi wants to buy my house, well, who is Barbara Grassi? So they need, if you've got something, and it doesn't have to be this big $5,000 website, but you need a place where people can come and they can say, this Barbara Grassi, she is a real business person. She She has a website.
That's what websites are now. I mean, back around the turn of the century,
yeah.
back around 2000, 2001, mm-hmm. if you had a website, that was a weird thing. Well, what's this website thing? And if you mm-hmm. had a website business, that wasn't a real business.
No.
And it changed over completely. By the end of the decade, if you didn't have a website, you weren't a real business. And that's the biggest change I've seen is the credibility issue. People mm-hmm. go online now, and especially in real estate, the first thing people do when they're looking for a house or to rent an apartment, the first thing they do, 73% mm-hmm. of people start their search on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in real estate and you don't have a website, you're not in real estate. And, yeah, there are some of the people who aren't. You know, they've been doing deals for so long mm-hmm. that they have their business built up. They don't really need it. And those are some of the old guys. But,
right.
you know, even, I mean, Pete Fortunato has a website. It's,
right.
Half the time, you know, it's like pretty static. It's not top of the line. But mm-hmm. when one of the old guys in the industry has a website, then you know, yeah, it's probably a good idea to have a website.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's really important. And you can get, there's some resources out there that are very affordable, and people have taken a great deal of time to put together some things that really work. So that too is another topic which I'm going to be covering soon.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, let's dive into what is my favorite, one of my favorite parts of this whole podcast, and that is creating a marketing plan. I tell people all the time, you can do this on a sheet of paper or a napkin. You just have to commit to it. You have to know what the components are. And then since I'm a very visual person, I'm a big fan of the big old wall calendar to keep me accountable. I am one of those people. I don't believe in hiding your marketing plan and your steps and all that back in your computer. So
no.
Let's have you tell everybody about creating a marketing plan.
We've talked about some of the components that you need. Mm-hmm. And the first step is determining your target market, which we've mm-hmm. talked about. And the second is creating your message.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about that too. The next thing is choosing the media that's going to hit that target market. And that's where the fourth component comes in, which is your budget to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So your budget, to a certain extent, is going to dictate the media that you use to market.
Mm-hmm.
Some things are free. Social media is free. A website is $10 a month for hosting. So that's very low cost. If you are dealing with an older population, they're probably not watching YouTube videos, but they might be reading, they might be the last people in the world who are reading the local paper. They're keeping the local paper in business until, you know, when they die off, the paper's going to die off too. So
mm-hmm.
think about who your target market is and think about how they get their information. If you've got mostly young men, if you're a wholesaler and you're rehabbing to these young guys who are hip and just little go-get-ems, I love those guys. It's like, they're going to take on the world. I'm like, yeah, honey, you go right ahead because I'm tired. Bring Mama a drink on your way back. but those guys are YouTube guys. You stick videos up on YouTube. When you get a house that you're wholesaling, they'll go to YouTube and look at the video.
Mm-hmm.
If you're working with older people, if your target market for sellers is older people, you're going to hit them with direct mail or you're going to hit them with an ad in the local paper if the local paper is read. In certain communities, there's a newsletter or a little newspaper that goes out. Those are incredibly cheap to advertise in. So you have to first think about your target market and how they get their information, and then use that specific media to reach them. And that's the easiest way to plan out your marketing. So that's the first step. You've got your target market, your message, how you're going to reach them. Then you have to set up a schedule. You need a marketing schedule. If you're going to send out 100 letters a week, that's great. But have your list ready. Give the 100 names and whatever your outsourcer needs to do the letters in the envelope. Have those ready to go. And if on Tuesday you hand them all the letters and the envelopes and the pen and the stamps and you say, you know, sign them, fold them, address them, and you get them back on Thursday, that's your schedule. you know, every Tuesday they're going to get them. Every Thursday I'm going to get them back. Every Thursday night I'm going to mail them. That's your schedule. If there is a free listing in the local paper, but you've got to get that in every Monday before 3, then Monday at 11 o'clock you've got a set appointment that says go to the community calendar and list whatever that you're listing in there. If your newspaper classified ads, the cutoff is 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon, you know that Thursday night you're going to check for any ads you're going to run, and you will have those ads in there by Friday at noon. You're going to be a little bit ahead of the schedule. So the media that you're using is going to dictate your schedule. But you don't have to spend your entire life marketing. Once you get your schedule down and you can outsource a lot of the stuff, then you're probably not spending more than 4 or 5 hours a week doing it. I have a small business marketing plan that I call, you know, marketing in 4 hours a week. And you can seriously do your baseline marketing in under 4 hours a week. Now, if you're doing a special campaign, that's a whole different thing. But most of your marketing, creating your presence and staying in front of people, can be done at a baseline level. It's just setting out your schedule.
Yeah, I agree with that. And that's where my big calendar works well, my marketing calendar. I know in theory you can put it in a drawer, you can put it in the computer file, but if you, especially, and after a while we know what we're supposed to do when, but even at that we forget, things happen.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
what day it is.
Yeah, it's like these podcasts, you know, I've got them scheduled, and then I've actually went out and bought another little calendar called, it's my marketing calendar, so that I'm attempting to get even better at my accountability where the marketing is concerned and
very
plan
good.
It and not always be in this reactive mode. So, you know, where, okay, you know, I need an article tomorrow. So, All of those are tools, and people think they're silly, old-fashioned tools, but they're important tools. And if you're going to be successful, especially at direct mail, you've got to get a schedule. Now, what if people don't have a huge marketing budget? What should they do? Do they set their goals by the number of deals or by the dollar amount? What do you think they should do?
Well, if they don't have a lot to work with, they're going to need to explore the free avenues, and that's social media, that's a lot of the internet stuff. But I really think that if you're marketing for deals and you're working on a very small budget, you're going to be wholesaling to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you're going to bird dog, maybe you're going to wholesale. But you need to go out and find deals that you can flip. And I think even on a small budget, you should be sending out at least 100 letters a week.
Mm-hmm.
I just think direct mail is the way to find deals. If you don't have $100 a week, then you're going to be driving for dollars. We send people out to yard sales. We'll say, you know, choose the area of town with the bread and butter houses that are right in the target price range of people. Go to yard sales. Talk to people. Because a lot of times yard sale is somebody moving.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
same thing is true with estate sales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yard sales, estate sales. You get somebody moving, and you're talking to people in the area. While you're walking, you're also going to see FSBO signs. You're
mm-hmm.
going to see, and pull the information sheet on everything. Realtors information sheets, FSBO information sheets, for rent information sheets, because that all helps you learn your market.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, seriously, if you can't afford $100 a week to send out letters, then start hitting the yard sales. Go out and walk the neighborhoods, talk to people. Tell them you're interested in buying a house in the neighborhood. See what's for sale out there. I love old for rent signs. I'm a lease option girl these days.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, all I do is contract it and move it on to somebody else because I hate landlording. So I wholesale lease option deals.
Mm-hmm.
When I see a house with a really rusty, faded for rent sign, that's my house. I love those things because I know that this guy has had an empty house for a while. He's losing money every month, and I can go in there and help him with that problem. So if you can't do a mailing, go out there and walk the streets like any good girl.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea. You know,
When years ago, when I first opened the home inspection business, we needed to get out and meet realtors, and we used to go to open houses on Sundays. Now, this was before the internet, but we would take them a mug and a coffee mug and some mints and or hot chocolate teas. We had this assortment of stuff in there, but it gave us a chance to meet those agents and make that connection. But you know what? That still works today. If you go to open houses, talk to the realtors, they will be a wealth of information about the neighborhoods, about home prices, and you never know when one of those guys is going to call you up. Maybe they've got a pocket listing. Maybe their market is nice houses, but Aunt Tilly's sister has got a nasty rental down on whatever, a dog. They don't even want to put it on the MLS, so they'll call you up, hey, I've got this house. I've got to get it on the MLS within 24 hours. Are you interested in looking at this nasty dog of a house? Well, heck yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll take a look. Yeah.
And I'll tell a real estate agent that. It's like, if you ever get a dog of a house that you're just too embarrassed to even take the listing on, let me know.
Mm-hmm.
And they know what you're talking about.
They do. So that's another form of networking. And a lot of agents, people don't like to work with agents, which totally confounds me because agents are a great source of referrals and a great team member if you get the right one. And I like to work with agents. You've got to get the right one. And I like to work with agents that are work with investors. And I should take that one step further because I've worked with agents that work with investors that still were of the retail sale mindset would tell you, this is really an okay property, because it's going to appreciate in 15 years.
Exactly. And look, it's only 95% of value.
right. So if you get one that's an investor, that's a whole different ballgame.
If you get one that's, we call them jungle fighters, they will go in there and fight to the teeth to get you a deal. And once you educate a realtor as to what you're looking for, mm-hmm. and they see you do a couple of deals at that price range, because I remember when I started and people were, maximum allowable offer would end up being 50% of the after repaired value or less.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, who the hell can get a deal at 40% of value?
Right.
A lot of people can get a deal at 40% of value.
Mm-hmm.
And until you see it happen, you don't know. So if you have a realtor that looks like they're pretty savvy, but they don't quite have the mindset yet for investors, you show them what you're doing. And you say, this is the deal I just did. And it gradually dawns on them, not just that, okay, these deals can happen and I can help, but eventually they're going to start investing too. You're going to flip them into an investor,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
Yeah, I agree.
Big house is pretty.
Yeah, and I love that term. Yeah, I've never heard that, jungle fighters. I like that.
I picked that up from Jay and Pete.
This has been a phenomenal podcast. Marketing is so important. I think it's probably the most important thing to learn when you're a real estate investor, that and what a good deal is, because if you don't have leads coming in, you don't need to know any of the rest of it.
I said that to a guy this morning. I said, your entire business is marketing.
Marketing. Mm-hmm.
That's it. If you don't market, you don't have a business.
Mm-hmm. You can mess up, like you said, on when you talk to people. You can mess up all kinds of different ways. If you're not sure how to structure it, you can call a fellow investor. But you have to get that lead first.
Yes.
And so I want people to take away, though, all the planning and all the, like you said, the magic words, which aren't, and all of that. Mm-hmm. None of it matters if you don't take action. You've got to get some kind of a basic plan and just do it. And then, like you said, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be done. You just have to get it out the door.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you so much. And I'm going to put the links to Barbara's website and all that information. She's got, a great couple of books here that I mentioned in the podcast. So we'll put links to those. And Barbara, did you want to tell them which website you'd like them to visit?
My very first website for real estate was called therealestatebirddog.com, therealestatebirddog.com. And on there, there's a place they can sign up for tip of the week. And I'll send out a little tip every week that some of it's advanced, some of it's for new, and you never know what story is going to come with it, that's for sure. So, a little freebie there.
Okay, that's great.
If you'd like that, that would be great.
That's great, and be sure and sign up to get that, because Barbara is she's a great marketer, and she can teach you how to do all sorts of things. So, she does not cook though. She's made that very clear. So don't expect to get a meal out of her. She does have a wicked sense of humor. So, this has been really good. And if anybody has any questions for Barbara or for me, you can leave them, under the blog post, and I'll be sure that, we get them answered. And until next time, this is Sharon Vornholt with Louisville Gals Real Estate Blog and another episode of Let's Talk Real Estate Investing.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.